This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Eshin Akins, and as we previously said, welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast. I got Jason Akins to my right. I have Mr. Shane Owens to my left here. He's our guest for the day. Folks, our first episode, we're going Facebook Live.
Yeah, this is a big deal, man. We've been wanting to do some visual for a while. I guess I need to look that way, don't I? The camera. We've been wanting to do that for a while, and this is it. This is our opportunity, and glad to have Shane here with us.
You know, Jason, we've not had a guest in a while. I was tickled to death when you said you found a guest for us. We've got to get back to that. I know we're probably going to do some paranormal episodes again pretty soon, so we're going to have probably Billy White coming back with us.
He's already, I guess somehow, either I did it and don't remember, or you said something, but he sent me a text message on a haunted sanatorium to check out, and he typed in Paranormal Billy with a question mark. So obviously he knows now that we call him Paranormal Billy. And I'm going to tell you, man, if I'm going to be delving into the world of the supernatural and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to have Paranormal Billy with me, or I'm not even going.
That's right.
He's good, man. He's good.
So Jason was supposed to send me some show notes on what we were talking about today, but
I didn't send you nothing.
Didn't get around to it. So
no, I was busy.
Don't feel bad. don't feel bad.
Right.
I was supposed to send Shane show notes, and it kept costing. You know what? Oh, I got another day or two.
Buddy, how's your week been? It's been a couple weeks since we recorded.
Been good, man.
Staying busy?
Staying very busy. Loving life. I can't complain. Business is good, working hard, and overall, gosh, I'm just a very blessed guy.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, everything's good.
Absolutely. Feel the same way, man. Real blessed. Everything's going perfect. You know, we talk about the job all the time.
We do.
It appears I'm a natural selling cars.
who saw that one coming?
Man, I don't know. You said something about it when I first started, so I guess Jason Akins saw it coming.
I did.
Let's break that record. I hit 22 and a half last month.
Nice. 22 and a half cars in 1 month.
In 1 month. Yeah. Now, the guy I was competing against in the competition, he had a fire week last week. Mr. Devin Hutchinson sold 31 cars.
Yeah, 31 cars.
Yeah. I'd like to see his paycheck.
Yeah, he made a few dollars.
He did, which I didn't do too bad myself, but he did great.
Oh, but well, that's good. That's good.
You know, more news. We're joining the gym tomorrow. We're joining Target Fitness.
Hey, double Target.
Going to try to get back in fight shape.
I hear you.
Maybe do something here and there. I don't know if it would be a regular thing, but, you know, I still got that little bit of fire burning, maybe.
Yeah. Just give some time. It'll work.
I'm sure. Yeah. I work 12-hour days, you know, so.
Are you still, you're 35?
35.
35, that's you're reaching your pinnacle, your peak.
That's it.
Before long, it's going to be like, is it time to go to bed yet?
Right. Now, if we have any viewers on Facebook Live yet, guys, listen. We do somewhat of an uncensored show. So if we drop some language that may be disturbing to some viewers, I apologize in advance, but we're just two guys, okay?
We try to keep it clean. We don't like to play blue, like Red Fox or anything. But and especially tonight, like I was telling Shane, I'm actually supposed to be at something at church.
Right.
So I've got a feeling there are a lot of guys who were there who are going to be like, I know where he was at.
Right.
Look at this.
Yeah. Watch this video.
Yeah. What he say? So I'm going to be on really good behavior.
Right. With that said,
and
guys,
my daughter's going to be checking that out.
Me and
too,
Jason so are both church going Christians. So, you know, we do use some language sometimes, so don't hold that against us.
We have strong feelings.
We do have strong feelings. We like to drink scotch occasionally. We both use tobacco.
Occasionally.
So, you know. Well, Shane, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners around the world and our Facebook viewers here. Tell us a little about yourself, what you do for a living.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. He told me about 30 seconds before we started, we were doing Facebook Live. But fortunately, I checked out y'all's page this morning. I've listened to some of y'all's podcasts, but I went on your page to see if y'all had anything about today. And I saw you put on there a couple times this week, hey, we're going to try out Facebook Live. And I was like, okay, that ought to be interesting. You know, right? So I probably won't be looking here. I'll be looking at y'all, whatever.
That's fine.
And, you know, I'm sure maybe somebody can hear. I will tell y'all, you said listeners around the world. There is for sure one buddy of mine from D.C. and one from Florida that's tuning in.
Awesome.
That they're over here sending text messages as we go. The polls in the floor. But,
fantastic.
Yeah, but anyway. Shane Owen, I was born and raised in Jasper. I went to Curry, up around your stomping grounds, neck of the woods. And I graduated 97, high school, went to college out in Colorado. I was in the military, did some time in the Air Force, about 12 years active duty. I came back in 2013, decided to move home. We got two kids, 11 and 12 now. At the time, they're around 3 and 4, I think. Decided to make the move, get out. You know, I've had a lot of people say, man, you only had 8 years left. And, you know, it's true, but I will say I'm a month away from being able to retire if I would have stayed in. And I miss a lot of the people, and I miss the mission, but overall, my wife and I are glad that we, you know, made the move and came home. Came home in 2013, started a tree service business. It's called Patriot Jacks, with the intention of going into logging. That's kind of what I wanted to do. I did it when I was younger with my family. They owned a logging company, and I fell in love with it.
Now, I didn't know, which members of your family had the logging company?
It was on my mom's side. So
it
was my mom's dad and my mom's brother.
Okay.
And so I worked with them when I was younger. I was always kind of dabbling in firewood and, right. You know, doing stuff like that. My granddad actually built me a splitter one time out of a cylinder off of a bulldozer and had it hooked up to the back of a tractor. So I'd split firewood nonstop. And if my son happens, well, and my daughter too, if they happen to be watching this, that was when I was 14. So, yes, you can work at your age. They were telling me it was hot today when we were in the yard.
It was hot.
It was hot. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Dad used to get me and my brother out when it was still dark outside. Hey, we got yard work to do.
That's when it's cool.
Yeah. Right. So, we're going to go out and trim the hedges, and we're going to rake the whole yard after we cut it. So there's no clippings in the yard.
Right.
That's kind of shit that Dad did when we were growing up.
Old school.
Right. Let's go build a porch.
Yeah.
That's bigger than this building.
Well, typically at the age that you're talking about, the kids are the most available source of labor.
That's it.
That's when my dad started his business. I think I was 12.
There you go.
And here I go. Time to work.
That's right. That's right.
So. Well, you know, so you graduated in 97.
That's right.
So you were, I guess that would be 4 years. But I didn't realize I was that much older than you. I graduated in 93
mm-hmm.
from Curry.
Yep, that's right.
So, I mean,
you're 46? Are you 46?
46.
Yeah, I'm 42.
42, so, yeah. 40. I knew who you were, but, you know, you were
sure.
One of the younger guys.
Right.
You know, and I kind of kept up with you through Facebook and, you know, I've been really interested in some of the stuff, and you know, we've had discussions,
right,
in private on Messenger, and you know, I spoke with Brandon, and we were looking for a guest, and back in January, we did kind of a New Year's type of a show and talked a little bit about setting goals, and you know, we're both kind of interested in different forms or methods of self-improvement and self-realization, I guess you would say. And I think that goes in a lot of different directions. And so I was interested in some of the things you had talked about and things that you've done, as well as your military career, because I feel like, and I'd like for you to kind of talk about it a little bit, you know, as much as you're comfortable, how your time is the Air Force, correct?
Yeah.
Your time in the Air Force affected or shaped your views, your world views, your views on other people? Because I know you came in contact with all kinds of folks.
Sure.
All kinds of ways of thinking, all kinds of different things that someone who maybe is less traveled. Now, I know Brandon, he traveled quite a bit all over the country with his dad and came in contact with a lot of different kinds of people. I've been in contact with several different kinds of folks over time. I'm from different countries and different parts of the nation. So, you know, I think it changes a person a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of an education.
Sure.
And so, and I'm going a long way around to get back to you, but how would you say that the 12 years you spent in the Air Force, how it affected you in that way, in your worldview? And when I say, I'm not just talking about politics, I'm just talking about in general. People.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. Yeah. It's a very easy question for me when folks ask, especially being back here in Alabama now for 8 years, if you will. And I don't care to get into politics. I will. I absolutely. If y'all talk about it, I'm going to talk about it as well. Mm-hmm. But there is definitely something, you know, being from an area and kind of the folks you're around, your friends. But that's the same everywhere. You know, it's the same.
Right.
If you're from Alabama or you're from Michigan or wherever you're at, you know, kind of the folks you're around and what your experience are definitely shape your thinking. You know, your family. I mean, we could live right down the road from each other and have completely two different, you know, ideologies and how we look at everything.
Right.
So I was very, very fortunate. And the 12 years active duty was definitely there. But some of the initial stuff just right out of the gate, man, was when I was in college out in Colorado. You know, just kind of get thrown in with a big group of people, and they were from all over the country, you know, and the military in general, I mean, it's just a microcosm, you know, of right. The United States. You're just as easily there, you know, with any race, any gender, you know, from any place, different religions, different everything. So you're kind of thrown in that day one. I mean, you're with, I can't remember exactly how many folks were in my, you know, basic training class, but we'll say 28 to 30, you know, folks, something like that. And I mean, just right off the bat, you know, you're hearing stuff and, you know, minor differences, you know, whatever, but you kind of work through all that stuff. So starting then as an 18-year-old, you know, I feel like I was very fortunate to kind of get to see people's different backgrounds. You know, and I'll tell them myself here, I'll give you an example of this. I had a roommate at the academy. His name was Benjamin Iacchini, and he was a Jewish guy. And Man, I mean, I'd heard Jewish before, you know, but I'd never met a Jewish person.
Not a lot of Jewish folks. Now, we do have a synagogue that's inactive.
Yeah, that's right.
In Jasper. There was a Jewish population, but by the time our generation came along,
right.
They're just not that many.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, I had zero exposure, right. None whatsoever. I'd never even connected dots, mm-hmm. You know. And it was when we got our cadet loan and we were all out buying vehicles. And I was in the room talking to him. I mean, he's my roommate, you know, like we're buddies, like great buddies. And we're sitting there and he said, "What are you going to do?" And I was like, "You know, I don't know. I'm going to do this, whatever." I said, "You know, I'm going to try to Jew him down." And he turned and looked at me and he's like, "What'd you say?" And I said, "I'm going to," and he said, "Man, you can't say that." I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Can't say that.
And I was like, he's like, "Do you know what that means?" I was like, "Yeah, to bargain with the guy." Like, what are you talking? You know, like, and he didn't get angry. He was kind of laughing at me, but he was like, "You can't say that." I was 19 or 20 at the time.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I did not know that word.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, like, even what it meant. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's one. And man, there were many of those.
Yeah.
Many of them. You know, being the guy from Alabama, I mean, there's different situations that got put in. And I shouldn't sing on Alabama. It's just different parts of the country.
Right.
You know,
right.
And there was stuff that people from other parts of the country, you know, with me or whatever, where they may have had stereotypes or something about, you know, the South. And we kind of hit on that earlier, you know,
right.
That you were talking about. But it's, you know, I look back on that and I was like, how could I have been so ignorant to not know what that meant? You know, and it just, but that was like kind of the first thing that said, man, if you're not exposed to stuff or if you don't see it, you know, and in that sense, something bad, you know, for obviously to other people. If that hadn't have been my roommate or somebody I would have known, I would have said that, you know, imagine, you know, the feeling that person would have had or imagine their thought of me,
yeah.
You know, and what type of person I was. And it was 100%, like, honestly had no clue what that meant. You know, so anyway, that story right there has always stood out to me. And me and him obviously laughed about it. And I was just like, I called home, you know, I was like, "Hey, do y'all know what this means?" You know, because I was so blown away.
You know, coming up, you don't.
That's a good story.
If you don't know about different cultures, you don't know.
No. No.
I mean, that's so a funny story about the Air Force. When I was in high school,
that's amazing.
I scored decent on the ASVAB. So, you know, I got some military attention, you know, reaching out to me. Mm-hmm. Air Force called me. The only branch that called me, as a matter of fact. So they're like, "Hey, this is so-and-so of the Air Force." They called the house phone, and Dad's like, "Hey, the Air Force on the phone." I'm like, "Yeah, you know." I said, "Okay, I'll talk to them." we get to talking. I said, look, I got to tell y'all, you know, I'm 350 pounds. You have a good day, sir. I'm like, wow, I wanted to go fly airplanes, and they denied me that. Scarred for life.
You won't fit in our seats, sir.
Right, exactly.
They were concerned the parachute
might not
really do the job. Is that back? That's back, yeah, in your, you were playing at Meek, right?
Yeah, that was in 2000. It was after might have been before I graduated, 2004, 2003.
You didn't even have a chance to tell them, hey, but I'm solid.
Yeah, I was solid. I was a solid 350, but yeah. I was 350 pounds.
I don't know what I scored on that. I was never active. I don't think I had anything to offer the military. But
you'd have been on the front lines.
I would have probably said, like, yeah.
Let's give you a gun. Just go up there.
He's expendable. Let's send him on up. But my best friend, Steve Davis, we were trying to figure out how we were going to pay for college. And at the time, neither one of us, fortunately, later were awarded some scholarships that helped out with that. And then student loans and what have you. But at the time, we didn't know we were going to have any money for college, and our parents couldn't pay for it. So we went to the recruiters, and we were looking at the National Guard. And this was right about the time Kosovo was blowing up, Bill Clinton, during his presidency. And I remember coming home and telling my mom, because, you know, he scored like astronomical on the ASVAB. He had made like a 30 on his ACT, real smart cat. Me, you know, 23, I thought that was pretty good on the ACT.
Pretty good?
Pretty good, you know, I mean. So I came home and told Mom, I said, Mom, I think I'm going to do this. And, and she shut that down real quick. She's like, nope, you'll end up in Kosovo or Sarajevo.
And you'll never come home.
That's right. So that's what she was, I know a lot of mothers, that's what she was concerned about. And they were at the time, they were sending folks over here into Bosnia, and it was kind of a UN type situation, peacekeeping type situation that escalated. But, she's like, listen, we'll find a way. But I've always had a lot of respect for anybody that served.
Oh, yeah.
I just always have. I mean, to give that time of your life in service to the country is just, I think, admirable. Something to be respected.
My granddad served, and I had it in the back of my mind that I was going to serve, but. Like I said, I was 350 pounds. And if I was going to join, I think the Marines would have been the best fit for me. But, you know, Air Force, flying an airplane, when they called, that went through my mind real quick. You know, I could fly an airplane.
They stamped your paper 1F.
Right.
Or whatever it is they call it.
My granddad, for instance, he served, my whole life until he passed away. And he served up until 2 weeks before he passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. With an honorable discharge. They discharged him 2 weeks before he passed away. He was still going to guard duty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's just, and he was 63 years old when he passed.
Yeah. Wow.
So, Brad, kind of talk about, you know, you said your mom was like, hey, we'll figure something out. I've got a completely, you know, opposite story of that. After my 11th grade year, Nick Woodley, Nick. And he's still coaching and teaching over in Birmingham, and him and I were, he was a year ahead of me. Yeah. And we were standing in the kitchen right after he graduated, and I think he was getting ready to go on a senior trip or something, and I'll never forget it. I mean, we were at the bar, Mom's on one side, me and Nick's on one side, we're sitting there talking, and she's like, well, you got a year. And I said, yeah, you know, graduating year. She said, no, you got a year to be out. And I'm like, what? She's like, you can either get a job, you can get a scholarship, you can go in the military, but you got 1 year from right now to figure out what you can do and get out. And man, at the time, I was kind of like, what the world? Like, really?
Yeah,
out. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And till this day, man, that was one of the best things my mom ever did.
It made it real.
Oh, yeah.
Made it
you know, real. Just to, you had to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I definitely didn't figure it out that day, but, you know, by no means. And and everything just kind of, I think, happens for a reason, and the timing and stuff, you know, works out, and it all just kind of fell in place. But her saying that was the initial, like, okay, I got to start looking.
Okay, that's what got you started thinking about it.
That's right.
What about Nick? Did he say, hey, I think I might join the military too, Shane?
No, I think he was already lined up to go to UNA, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, did he go play football for them?
Man, I honestly cannot remember if he played.
He was a pretty good athlete.
Oh, yeah. He was
great. But now you played baseball. if I remember correctly.
Yeah, baseball and football. I didn't play basketball.
That's right. You played football,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I played basketball. Not good at either one of them. It didn't work out well for me. I fouled out every game I ever played in.
Well, you weighed 350 pounds.
Yeah.
That'd been good if you were 6'8".
Right.
That would have been a beast coming down through there. But now you could clear out the lane.
Well, yeah, and that's what got me fouled.
You got to put a butt on them, man.
That's what got me fouled out.
Yeah, clearing out the lane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you come back home, and did were you already married
yeah.
while you were in the military?
Yeah, well, we got married in 02, so I'd been in, you know, for a little bit. I graduated.
Oh, wow. That long ago? Okay.
The academy in 01, and went down to Florida, basically waiting on pilot training.
Right.
And I knew my wife and who she was, mutual friends. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends from high school was one of her really good friends, and we had known each other, kind of ran in the same crowds, but, you know, not probably for a whole different show, but just completely random how it worked out. You know, both was getting out of long-term relationships and just happened to come up one weekend. I was hanging out with Brett Calvert, you know, which you know, and he was like, hey, you want to go, yeah. you know, let's go to Tunica. All right, cool. I was like, who are we going with, you know? Yeah, we're going with these. So anyway, we go over there, and that kind of started it, man. We got engaged not long after, just a couple months, and got married in October of 2002. Then it was the whirlwind tour. I mean, we went to Texas first, then to Arkansas, then to New Mexico, then to Japan, then to England, then back to Florida. So we were kind of all over the place. And fortunately, she was a dental hygienist by trade. She still keeps her CE and everything up today, but she sells real estate now, so she don't do that a whole lot. But we were fortunate. She got to work at a lot of the bases. She got to work in Japan and England both. So it was good.
So you guys saw a lot of stuff, too.
Man, got to see a ton of the world. I know I kind of cut that off. I talk very circuitously, so I'll probably, you know, go off track a lot. But, you know, definitely being in the military, not just the people that I met, the people I was fortunate enough to, you know, develop lifelong friendships with and mentors that I gained throughout the, you know, time I was in. I mean, that's guys right now with me being gone, you know, from 18, you know, years old and coming back however old I was, you know, early to mid-30s, that's kind of those formative years in life where obviously I know a lot of you guys, I know your names, but I wasn't really here during that time when everybody was getting married and having kids and doing all that stuff, so I still have friends, I still talk to people from high school, still, you know, I've made new friends, obviously, you know, since being here, but my main friends that I actively talk to on a daily basis are guys from the military.
Yeah.
You know, and we still see each other, and we still call on each other often. I mentioned the two guys, you know, earlier that's you know, on here watching, and or they said they were. They're probably tired of me talking already because I talk so much, you know, when I'm talking to them. But, no, man, it's great. I unfortunately had to go down to Florida for a memorial service. Guy that we all flew with died of cancer recently, and he battled it for 12 years, and, you know, we showed up down there and went to his memorial service. Just unbelievably good guy. That, man, if you could interview that dude, that's the guy that had some stories. He was just great all-around guy. Nobody ever disliked him. But either way, it showed at the memorial how many people were there.
Yeah.
From across the board, across the spectrum, people that, you know, flew in, people that drove in. I mean, there was guys from California. They're, you know, they're from all over the place. And
so you know he had an impact.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, and we went to a little local, you know, restaurant slash bar after the service on base. And you just pick up conversations with some of these folks that I haven't seen in 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and I looked at my wife and I was just like, it's literally like yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like you just start right back over with these folks. Yeah. There is a bond there that you develop. And obviously, you develop friendships here. And I'm sure y'all both have very close friends. But there is something about it, you know, that you develop. With those folks. So you get to learn that different perspective, not right or wrong, but a different perspective from all of those folks.
Right.
But
right.
then you also get the big overall picture of, you know, going to different countries, seeing how other people live, kind of getting immersed in their culture, if you will. Some places, obviously, you're not doing that. You know, I'm not getting immersed in Iraqi or, you know, Afghanistan's culture.
Yeah.
But other places we were, you know, we were allowed to go out on the town, as we called it, or even travel on days off and stuff and take tours. And then when we were in Japan, well, Japan and England, you know, my wife and I both, we traveled around, went to a bunch of different countries. So we got to kind of immerse ourselves there, you know, as well. One more, you know, just quick story for you to kind of, I think, will sum up what you're getting at with your question. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. Yeah. But I'll give you a quick story from Malaysia. I'm sorry. It was Indonesia. Okay. And I don't know the numbers exactly. Somebody can Google it. I Google stuff all the time. They make fun of me for Googling stuff when people's talking. But if I'm not mistaken, Indonesia's 94% Muslim.
Yeah. And probably close, yeah. Probably
you know, I was there not all that long after September 11th. Mm-hmm. And so obviously there's a little bit of a, you know, Muslim country or, you know, whatever. Not that we cared per se, but you just don't know, right. You know, you don't know. And, you know, when you walk into a shopping mall and there's metal detectors and guys with machine guns guarding just a mall where you shop, it kind of puts you, you know, a little bit like, what's going on here, you know?
On alert.
And honestly, the majority of it's petty crime stuff and people stealing. But either way, so I'm talking to this girl, in one of the receptionists there in the hotel, and just, hey, you know, where are you from? And at the time, I was probably late 20s, and she was, if I remember correctly, 23, 24, something like that. Spoke very good English, and we're sitting there just talking about everything. I mean, you know, probably an hour standing at the desk talking. And, I was kind of like, it's just wild with everything that's going on in the world, and you know, obviously social media was around, but nothing like it is now.
Right.
You know, I kind of wonder how much worse Muslim people, if you will, you know, would have here in the United States would have taken the brunt of something like that if social media was like it is now.
Yeah.
It's so divisive. Anyway, I won't get into that. But
right.
Her and I are standing there talking, and I was like, it's just crazy that we're so different, you know, different countries, like, never met each other, different religions, different everything. We can sit here and talk about stuff and, you know, have a lot of the same, you know, interest, if you
right.
will. And
common humanity.
Yeah,
common
exactly. Humanity. You know, just another person. And so I kind of got this idealistic, you know, thing in my head, like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I love it, just meeting people. And I do. But the realist came out in that conversation, too, because I was like, well, what about your family? You know, she's like, oh, yeah, I got dad's brothers, mom, and, you know, whatever. And I was like, well, what about your dad and your brother? You know, like, if I was to, like, be out in town talking and they came up, you know, how would they interact with me? And she's like, oh, they'd want to kill you. And I was just like, what? You know, so then.
Hey, surprise.
So then there came the realist part of it.
Yeah,
back. You know, her and I sitting there talking. She's working in a westernized hotel, if you will. Doesn't have on the face covering, doesn't have on anything. While I was talking to her, the 5 o'clock call to prayer, you know, there was a mosque right outside the hotel we're sitting at. Very, very nice place in Jakarta. And I kind of stopped. I was like, do you need to, like, go? She's like, no, I'm on the clock. She's like, you know, whenever I get my break or I get off shift, then we have a prayer room downstairs. We go downstairs and we do it, you know, whatever. And it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, yep, it's that common humanity, but then, but they want to kill you. I was just like, what?
It's so strange.
You know,
it really is. It's like a dichotomy.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, that is so weird, man.
Yeah.
You know, because you would think, you'd be like, okay, hey, everything's cool. We got a lot in common.
Right.
We're just regular folks. But my family would probably want to kill you.
Yeah, you know, she may have said it tongue in cheek.
It brings you back, you're like, zhoom.
Yeah, and for me, like I said, she may have said it tongue in cheek, you know? But it just kind of highlighted the fact from her and I were enjoying it from the standpoint of very different people and interested in what other people, you know, thought. Her family, if, you know, what she said was actually true,
right.
Probably didn't enjoy that. So kind of my overall point is that, yes, I've been very fortunate and blessed to be around the world and kind of see different things. And I don't even like using the term, like, open my eyes, because then that insinuates at some point that guys here that haven't traveled or guys anywhere that haven't traveled, you know, are somehow, like I said earlier, I was ignorant to the fact.
Right.
Well, there's some people get mad at me if I say, well, that's just kind of ignorance. Like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just not knowing, not being exposed to something.
Right.
And I always enjoyed it. Some guys and gals may not like that. you know, put in those situations. But I loved it. I love going out in the communities, man. I've been in chicken fights in the Philippines with, you know, like they called it Barangay Chiefs. I mean, that was their local mayor, and you know, ton of corruption down there and stuff. And know, we got to kind of go in the back door of these places. I mean, I was loving it. You know, there were some guys like, yo, no, don't go there. Like, what are you doing? You know, somebody's gonna kill you. But no, it was good, man. And it's I've told my wife numerous times. At some point, I will take my kids to some of those places.
At
some point, you know, I do want to take my kids to those places, just to give them a little perspective.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of show them. And I'm not talking about the, you know, the UNICEF commercial or whatever, where you take them and just show them people that are living in abject poverty. We've got that in the United States.
Right.
You know, it's right here.
Right.
But just the different perspectives.
Right.
And kind of seeing some of that stuff and realizing there's a whole big world out there. And so what that kind of led to, and I'm finally getting around to your answer, not to get into any of the stuff from 2020 at all.
Oh, man, yeah.
And right. I like to argue. I like playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt.
I do, too. I'm a kind of a contrarian, and a lot of times I will be drawn to playing devil's advocate. Just, I interrupted. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I guess my overall point to it is, which I think is getting at the overall question, is I think it at least allowed me the ability in situations to be like, hey, and I hate to say this person's truth or whatever, because that's got a bad connotation to it. But
right.
From the standpoint of people have different experiences.
Yeah.
You know, there's a meme going around that I've seen before. I've posted it before. It's got a dude sitting over here and a dude sitting over there, and they're arguing with each other. There's a 6 here if this guy's looking at it, but it's a 9 to the other guy.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's just like, man, it just depends on where you're coming from, you know, how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
So I think it at least gave me that ability to take one step back and kind of look at it from folks' perspectives.
Right.
That don't solve problems, man. People are still gonna argue. Still argue. I get upset, about whatever. I've tried to distance myself from a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I have too. I swore off a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh, these two guys. I keep referencing these two guys that I talk to all the time because we talk about everything. You know, they're very similar to you guys. You know, y'all's backgrounds and kind of how y'all's, you know, whole show is set up. Like, hey, liberal, conservative, you know, different guys talking, friends, but very different perspectives on issues, but also the same perspective on others. Right. You know, these guys from different parts of the country, Ohio, Florida, and me from Alabama, you know, relatively general, you know, same part of the country, but there's a lot of stuff we differ on.
Right.
And it's great to sit around and have those conversations.
You can learn, if you're willing, you can learn from each other.
That goes to show you that it don't matter what background you come from or what part of the country or what part of the world you come from, you can still find common ground on something.
Absolutely.
I mean, like you're talking to the Muslim. You're talking to this lady for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And y'all still found common ground and was able to carry on a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's like that everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in it. At the heart of it, two people talking to each other, if there's not others around to watch or whatever, put in the right situation, most of them will find some sort of common ground.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, most people are just kind of good, if you will, at heart, I guess.
So. I think so.
And if more people would see that and realize that and really just take a minute to think about it, everybody could get along pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. And you know, you brought up social media, and you know, that's a whole other show we could go into, but you know, I'm kind of hoping that maybe it's reached its peak explosion as far as people thinking or believing that, okay, I can have an argument to get my point across, and maybe there's some kind of victory to be had,
because
there is no victory to be had. Now, if someone can see the way you carry yourself, and if you know, if you're respectful even in the face of disrespect, well, then that's real respect.
Sure.
You know, it's easy to be respectful to someone that agrees with you or who is kind to you, but to be respectful and kind to someone that is not, that's real kindness.
Absolutely.
Real respect. So if someone sees that and they're like, you know what, that maybe, and that affects them, well, then it's a good thing. But too often it's just a lot of, you know, bomb throwing, a lot of brick throwing. And, you know, I read an article in The Atlantic a while back talking about social media being like a form of a doomsday machine. Hmm. And it was a fascinating article. I haven't really thought about it before till then. But I could see what they were trying to put together. You know, you have something now that is amoral. It makes no judgment on morality other than, you know, people say, well, you've got the fact checkers and all that. Overall, the algorithms are mechanical. They're amoral. They're computerized. You know, I don't know that that's a good thing. Either way, you can find ways that, well, if it does make a judgment, you know, what are the morals it's judging on? But you've got something that it has worldwide reach. And is and can do, replicate itself over and over again, almost like AI, but not quite, and can influence vast swaths of people.
Absolutely.
With this, with pictures and with facts that may not be facts or maybe you know, maybe out of context. And before it can overthrow governments, it can do all kinds of. It can destroy another person.
Sure.
Without ever coming face to face with them. So I think, you know, social media has some good things because I was kind of like you. When I graduated in 98 from college, I moved to Coleman, which, you know, just up the road, but I never came back because mm-hmm. that was where my life was.
Right.
Didn't have social media.
Right.
I lost touch with everybody. And my best friends were fraternity brothers that I went to college with.
That's right.
And until I moved back down here and started doing social media and reconnecting with everyone, and then met, you know, made new friends, like the guys I worked with in law enforcement, like Esh
right.
well, here.
Right.
You know, it was good in that way, mm-hmm. that it could reconnect me. But, you know, there's so many, and, you know, I don't have to tell you, because we've all seen it. And we've all been a party at different times on the same conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so it's just...
Yeah, and it's not to... I mentioned earlier, you know, I went cold turkey and got off of it for a while. And it wasn't one of those things like, oh, I just can't take it. I'm going to have a breakdown. You know what? It wasn't that. It was kind of everything else that was kind of going on at the time.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, I was watching a guy on social media that I follow. And he said, hey, guys, we'll see y'all in a month. I'm doing my normal thing. I go off for a month. And I put my phone down. I looked at my wife. I was like, hey, I'm going off social media for a month. She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I don't know. This guy just said he's going off. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. You know, and I didn't touch it for a month. I've gotten back on there, absolutely. You know, I've put some stuff nowhere near as much. Right. It's just a time suck, man. Like, I don't watch TV, you know, and I hear y'all talk about all these movies and stuff, which, by the way, that's a whole nother story, too. I've never watched Star Wars and some of these things that y'all mentioned. I know, I know. But I figured I had to tell y'all that at some point.
Cause I was actually going to bring it up at some point.
Yeah, I really don't watch TV, you know, and I just never, obviously I've watched TV in the past.
Right, right.
But social media became my TV.
Right.
I was I'd watch TED Talks, I'd watch YouTube, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'd spend 4 or 5 hours a day. And finally, I was like, no, you know, gotta get off that. So I've cut that, you know, stuff way back.
Have you experienced TikTok yet?
No.
TikTok is my daughter, ultra addictive.
Yeah, I've heard. And I think my daughter has an account. She has it on one of those. I'm pretty sure. No, I know it's TikTok. Her mom monitors and does all the, you know, whatever you can do. But at the end of the day, it's still TikTok. And no, I don't look at it.
Right. It's addictive. If you do, you'll be sitting there scrolling through it. And 5 hours later, you'll realize, hey, I've used half my day watching TikTok.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I don't want to demonize it 100%.
Right, right.
Because
right.
I didn't go away from it because I think good can come of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll specifically say, you said the algorithm. What I have seen happen in my life over the past 4 months is I actively change the algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
You start searching different things. You start reading different things.
Yeah.
You start watching different videos.
Right.
And the new stuff that pops up that they think you're interested in,
isn't that amazing?
Is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of led me down this road of, hey, man, all social media is a mirror. We're all looking in this big mirror because, however you want to say it, you can change the algorithm off of social media. Whatever's coming up in your life, whatever's happening, what you're exposing yourself to or experiencing, good or bad, it's the same thing. You know, I know we're going to hit on the personal improvement stuff, and it may get into that. But me personally, like, things that I, you know, put boundaries on now and kind of look at differently, you know, I kind of feel like I changed that algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like it's the same thing. And so that's why I say I don't want to demonize it, because at the end of the day, social media is just a mirror of all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's absolutely. Like people say, oh, money changes people. And then other people say, no, it don't. It just shows you who they really are, because now they got the money to show you.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know, so
yeah.
I kind of feel like it's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, so
I've thought that myself. When I've been the most frustrated, I've said, you know, social media gives people the ability to show you the best of who they are and the absolute worst,
right,
with a feeling of no consequence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they, you know, and so I agree with you. It does have some very good uses. I've learned a lot. I would have never, some of the TED Talks, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Peterson, some of those lecturers would have never found them.
Sure.
And wouldn't have, you know, found other people that I didn't even know.
Right.
That now I can see someone I enjoy talking to, or check on someone, you know, hey, I didn't know that happened to you. What can I do to help you?
Right.
But, you know, I have found that I don't get on it nearly as much. I'm not much of a poster. I'm not a very creative person. So, you know, sometimes I'll get a spurt and I'll post two or three things in a week and then I'll go for a month.
Mm-hmm. You'll go ghost.
I'll go ghost, yeah. Man. I'll just ghost out,
I have people calling me and asking, like checking on me. Are you okay?
I knew.
Because I did post all the time.
I Facebook stalked you. I was like,
you're not the only one.
I was like, what's going on with Shane? So I was like, Shane Owens, it's a waterfall. He's fasting from Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's take a moment. Do we have any questions or comments for Facebook Live?
Comments.
Let's what we got?
Only the nice ones.
No, I want to hear the bad ones.
Back to the beginning, when you were talking about college, Zach Blum says, don't let him get away with it. College in Colorado, accepted to and completed United States Air Force Academy.
Thanks, Zach.
Laura Owen said he does it every time, Zach. Travis Hill says, back to the algorithm. Travis Hill says, great point, change your algorithm. Zach Blum says, if you only click on or comment on friends, family pictures, and videos, almost all you see is friends, pictures, and videos. And Facebook Live podcasts, of course. And COVID-19, of course, whether you click on it or not.
Yeah.
Bailey Long says, and any other ads that you might look up, sorry, this is Dylan, not Bailey.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah, good points, guys. Definitely, algorithms are weird. You know, we were looking for refrigerators a couple weeks ago, and that's all I get on my feed now is refrigerators, home improvement stores, and
oh yeah,
shit like that.
Yeah. I've noticed that with some of the things that I've searched, all of a sudden these suggestions come up. I'm like, wow, okay. And sometimes they're helpful.
You get a lot of cat. A lot of cat videos, don't you?
I do. I get a lot of cat videos. A lot of cat videos and Marvel stuff.
Right.
And ancient history. That's kind of another nerd out for me. But, it's weird because I'm not tech savvy. It kind of left me cold after the Atari 2600. But at the same time, I'm fascinated with technology and the potential it has for the, you know, improvements in our life. I love to listen to Ray Kurzweil talk about that. He's done a lot of great evaluations and predictions that have come true, and he's just kind of a guru in that area on where we're headed. And you know, technology of any kind, you know, it can fuel send power to our homes, or it can blow up a country.
Sure.
You know, it's just in how you use it.
That's it. So you say you've not watched Star Wars, is that right?
No.
You've never seen Star Wars?
No.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I mean, wow, man.
I was going to start. My son has seen, I think, a couple of them. And I had to ask a buddy. I was like, hey, so like, what's the deal? Like, what, you know, which ones? And he started giving me the watch this one first or this one. But these people say that you should watch them in this order and that they can't.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I said, never mind, man. Like, I just told myself, just watch whichever
too much
want
work.
To. Yeah.
That's right. My wife don't like Star Wars, so I have to sneak and watch it when I have a minute.
You know, my wife doesn't like Star Wars. Kate doesn't like Star Wars.
What about comic books growing up? Did you read comic books or anything like that?
Not ones that are memorable. Like, right. Yes, I did. I remember reading comic books, but not ones that, like, stick out. You know, where I'm like, oh, I want to follow this. Or, like, if a movie came out that was a comic book, like, there was none, you know.
Right. I got you.
Okay. I don't know. Spider-Man. Like, any of those movies. Like, I haven't seen any of those. I haven't seen them.
Well, I mean, you kind of know our political background, Jason's. I guess we both lean toward the middle, I think.
I would say, yeah, and I think most people, in one form or another, lean toward the middle because we all have the same needs, the same wants. We may, you know, differ on some aspects, but on the more serious stuff, I think people tend to lean toward the middle.
Right. I got a sales manager. He don't vote party. He votes for who he's going to think's going to do the best job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's awesome, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I've seen, you know, growing up, of course, you know, I'll just kind of keep it particular to Alabama. It was a solidly Democrat state. Now, that was a different kind. There were a lot of other things going on.
Southern Democrat.
It was a Southern Democrat and kind of a holdover from Reconstruction on up. You know, things changed slowly in the South, very slowly.
People still say our hometown is 20 years behind everybody else.
Yeah, I would say they're right.
Right.
You know, I'd say, but in some ways we're much better. I can see the improvements overall in the South as a whole. But, you know, so I remember the corruption that I saw then, and I have firsthand seen corruption within the Democrat Party. I have firsthand seen corruption within the Republican Party.
No doubt.
I have no interest in that. I was a political junkie growing up. My grandfather got me interested in politics, and I always thought, well, that's an honorable way to serve. Now, man, there's no way. Hmm. There's no way, especially in the current climate. So, you know, I think it is incumbent upon citizens to communicate with each other and, you know, to try to get the most balanced idea of what's going on if they can. Because it's so easy, you know, tribalism, and that's what they call it, you know, they've been talking about it since the late 90s. Tribalism in our own country has become a real problem. We saw that, you know, we've seen it for the past, I'd say going back, gosh, you know, we look at 2016 to 2020 because of Trump and all that. But, man, this has been coming for 20 years. And I think we have fueled a politics that appeals to the worst in all of us. It's performative. It's not about results. It's all performative. You know, I don't have an interest in it anymore.
Right. Well, it's like Shane said, it's all a matter of perspective.
That's true. That's true.
And I was going to bring that up. You said that y'all fall kind of towards the center. The first thing I thought was like, well, that depends on who you're asking, right?
Because
right?
That's true.
Perspective. You know?
That's right. Center may be the right for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or if you make one comment on Facebook that doesn't agree with someone else, they're going to be like, oh, he's either far right or far left.
That's right. You're a lefty, right, or you're a Nazi. You know, one of the two. Right.
I actually feel very constitutionally based.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I take what the Constitution says to heart. Like our First Amendment rights, we didn't have that, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Right.
If we didn't have our Second Amendment rights, I mean, where would our guns be? What would we be doing? How are we hunting? How are we protecting ourselves?
Well, I think that's, yeah, you know, we've had a lot of discussions just in private on different constitutional questions. You know, even with that, you have people who kind of follow the pattern of the Constitution as a living document, and some that are, you know, basically, I can't think of the proper term, constructionist, strict constructionist.
Mm-hmm.
who are like, no, this is exactly what it says, and that's it, and then, you know. Sure. So you have, you know, those different points of view, and with all of the issues, you have nuance. You have nuance, you know, and there are hot button issues. I think if you were to take five or six hot button issues and say, listen, these are totally out, let's set them over here, and let's talk about everything else, people wouldn't know what, politically, people wouldn't know what to discuss.
Yeah, sure. You're right.
They, you know, a handful of people would be able to carry on a conversation.
Sure.
But it's without those hot button issues that are fed to us and that we feed on emotionally.
You throw out abortion, you throw out the wall, you throw out health care, you throw out these main ones. Then people are going to sit
guns.
There and not have, yep. I mean, guns, I'm sorry, but yep. and not have a lot to argue about.
Exactly. Yeah. Because, I mean, no one can argue that, yeah, we need honest government.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need good roads.
It'd be nice for our schools to actually talk kids.
Yeah.
You know, like most people are going to agree.
Yeah, exactly. I think those hot button issues, man, if you can just kind of set them to the side, and you're going to have people on both sides who are extreme, and, you know, unfortunately, just like you said, folks think they represent everybody on that side.
Mm-hmm.
You all think this way. You all think that way. And, you know, for the first time, I don't know if it's ever been this way before. I'm sure it has. You know, we were pretty damn divided during the Civil War other periods. But I believe politics and political identity has surpassed religion. As far as how people, you know, identify institutionally who they are, and what their core belief system is. And I'm not saying everybody. I'm just saying, you know, a larger percentage than it used to be, and really than it should be.
Right.
And I'm not saying I don't think you should use. I'm not saying well, religion should be the only thing. I'm just saying that it's taken more of a thing as to where, like, you know, well, you got a Democrat, you got a Republican. They might think different, but, you know, they're going to try to work together and understand each other. Now it's much more adversarial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can't deal with you because you are an enemy, not only of me, but of the country or of decent people.
And that's how a lot of people look at it.
Yeah, that's how a lot of people
look at it. A lot of Republicans, they're going to look at Democrat. Hey, you're just an enemy of the country. You're a Nazi. You don't care about the country. You want to change everything. And a lot of Democrats view Republicans the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just racist. It's what we have become.
Right. Right.
And we don't have to be that way as people.
No, we don't. We don't. It takes a lot of communication, and I really don't know what the answer is. I don't at this point. And I studied political science in college, and I don't know. Everything that I learned has been upended.
Things evolve and change, man.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. You saying I'm old?
Well.
But, you know, kind of going to take a turn here, but to kind of go in the same direction. You know, we had talked, you and I, a little bit, and I noticed some of the stuff that you'd been doing. And this is some things that Esh and I have talked about. You know, kind of the journey of striving for self-improvement. And I'm not trying to be just kind of one track here and say everyone should, you know, seek self-improvement. You know, there are some people, philosophers, that say, why bother? Mm. You know, but because you can't really know yourself. And that gets into really deep stuff. But I know you've looked at some different things, and I know you did the 75-day challenge.
That's right, yeah.
And, I mean, wow, I want you to talk about a 72-hour fast. I want you to talk about all that.
What is a 75-day challenge?
Shane?
So, a dude named Andy Frazella, you mentioned earlier being 350, you know, and pretty yoked up. Andy Frazella owns a company called First Form. Don't know how I started listening to his podcast. He's very in your face. He cusses a ton. And, like, you know, I know you all say you're going to try to keep that down, but he just, but he's also very motivating.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been listening to this guy's podcast from a business standpoint. Mm-hmm. Because he owns, I think, like 8 companies.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, super successful in the business world.
Right.
So I'm listening to it, and it's a very long story, but I'll make it as short as I can. My wife and I went on our anniversary trip, and while we were there, I'd been listening to it. I said, you know, I think I'm going to do it. You know, I think it's time to do it. And this was last October, and Laura was still up in the room getting ready that morning. We were about to check out of the hotel. I was downstairs drinking coffee. By the way, this is coffee. Somebody was asking what was in the cup.
If me and Jason had a cup, it would be Scott.
Yeah, <that's right. laughs> people ask me all the time. I drink coffee from when I get up until I go to sleep. Literally, until I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like when I'm getting ready to walk to the bedroom, I dump the last bit of coffee out and I drink it all night. But anyway, I digress. So we were up there and I was standing outside, had my iPhone. I pulled up the little notes page and I did a self-assessment standing in the parking lot. And it was everything. It was how I rate myself on friendship as a leader, management, spirituality, my health. I can't remember. I think there's like 12 categories. But it was just spitballing. You know, there was no particular deal. And I ranked myself 1 to 10 on that. And I went down the list and I added it up and I came out to right out of 5. You know, and I was sitting there and I was like, 5? Like, man, like 50%? You know, like that's where you're at in life is 50%.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of hit me.
Yeah.
You know, that I, now some of that's obviously, you can have a whole conversation about self-critiquing and you know, are you too hard on yourself? Or are you not too hard on yourself? There's a whole other conversation out there about that. But, you know, roundabout, I wasn't max performing by no means. And I'm still not max performing. But I did say, okay, I'm going to start this 75 hard. So what it is, this guy came up with this program. And he's got a bunch of them. Yeah, if you listen to a couple of his podcasts, it's called The Real AF, Andy Frazella. But also it has the double meaning.
After you suggested it.
All right. So the 75 hard program is for 75 days. You do 2 workouts a day, 45 minutes. And they're workouts of your choosing. He doesn't tell you what to do. He just says, do 2 workouts, 45 minutes. You can't drink alcohol. You have to be on a diet. Once again, it's whatever you choose to be your diet. Mine was literally stop drinking Cokes and stop eating gummy bears. That was my thing. Because in a normal day, I always had a 32-ounce Coke in the console, and I'd buy a pack or 2 of gummy bears a day. And I was like, hey, I'm going to cut those things out. Right? That was my diet. Now, it led to way more stuff in the food category as the 75 days progressed, started playing with some of the different diets and all that, the keto and the carnivore and the fasting. And but anyway, so the 2 workouts, no alcohol, a diet, take a progress pick, drink a gallon of water, and read 10 pages in a nonfiction self-help book. Mm-hmm. So you do that for 75 days straight. And one of those workouts has to be outside. So you can schedule everything to a T. Guys that work like us, your schedule's going to get messed up. So part of the mental toughness, and he says all the time, this is not a physical challenge. It is. If you do it, you're going to be sore. You're going to hurt. There's not a rest day. And there's a lot of people that says, that's crazy. Don't do that. You need a rest day. You know, well, he tells you on there, like, well, active stretch for 45 minutes and in the afternoon go out and walk for 45 minutes. Like, he's not telling you got to do CrossFit,
right?
You know, 2 45 minute rounds. Like, it's you can kind of pick and choose what you do, but it's just sticking to it and not let, and man, there were some nights 10:30, 11 o'clock at night and it was raining, it was freezing cold, and I was outside with a rucksack on walking through the woods. It sucked,
yeah,
you know, but that was like then the next day you're like, oh man, that was cool. Like, you know, that, like, it kind of gave you that little, like, all right, well, I know I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's different stages. He's got a book called 75 Hard, and he goes through the different stages in the book that most people kind of report back of, like, where you're at in it and kind of the feeling that you get during it. And I will say, back to the social media, is posting some of that stuff. There was some stuff that I had hesitation posting. There were other times that I posted a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, the thing for me that came out of it that I think is so awesome is I just had a buddy this morning send me his before and after pic. Today's his day 75.
Wow.
I hadn't talked to this guy literally in like 10 years. We were in the military together. We were stationed in Japan together. Like, great dude. Love him. Like, I consider him a close friend. And I know that sounds crazy because we hadn't talked for 10 years. Back in December when I posted that I was done with that thing and did the Murph on Christmas Day with my wife and all that, he contacts me like a week later and he's like, hey man, no, like, no kidding. Did this work? And I'm like, dude, I loved it. Like, you ought to try it. Well, he just knocked it out, and his transformation. And I haven't even talked to him on the phone yet about his mental side, but just the physical side.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally like, I'm going to do it again. Like, I'm about to do it again. Like, this dude just remotivated me
wow.
to go do this again. And there's another guy who's in the military. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. For our Facebook viewers, our app that we use only gives you 60 minutes at a time to record. So the 60 minutes, we'll pause for a second and restart recording. So our listeners on the podcast don't miss anything, and our Facebook viewers kind of know what's going on.
Gotcha.
So the 60 minutes, we got about 30 seconds. They'll have to pause for a minute, and then I'll just hit the record button again, and it'll start. It's a process.
Yeah. That's when you usually throw in the ad, right?
Right, we throw an ad in.
Yeah. That's right.
We discussed trying to use a different program, but Anchor's so easy to use.
Yeah.
It's just simple.
It is. It really is.
You hit record and hit the button, and it's ready to go, and you're recording.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you can edit and stuff, but...
Okay.
Like I said, we're back.
And we're back. But you were talking about your buddy, the transformation he made with that. I'll tell you the honest truth, man, you know, and we had talked a little bit about it, you know, just via Messenger. And it motivated, some of the posts you put out there motivated me. Because when you're putting, I saw that Christmas Day post doing the Murph.
Hang on, I see you laughing over there. What do you got?
Jared Aaron wants to know,
lost connection on Facebook Live.
What? Someone has hacked our feed. Yes, the algorithm's found us.
Anyone that's trying to reconnect.
It's like Morbius, the Matrix has found us. They got us, man. Better dial in. But yeah, that when I saw you did a Murph, and I'm in there, my daughter's here. She brought all this food. I'm like, son of a bitch.
We good?
You know,
I specifically
started it to finish on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
I knew I'd go through Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
And I did it to finish on Christmas Day. I almost wished I would have started a little bit later to finish on New Year's Eve. And did it then.
Yeah.
But overall, it worked out good. And I do think I'll do it again. Another buddy, when I was probably 35, 40 days in, he was a navigator I used to fly with, and he was over in England. And he hit me up, and he's like, hey, man, I'm starting this kind of accountability page on Facebook for 75 Hard because a couple of us are going to start it. I've been watching you do it. Like, do you mind being a part of it, even though you're already, you know, this far in? Absolutely. You know, and it's crazy because this guy asked me to be in this group. And as I watched him progress through 75 Hard and the conversations I was having with him, and he was probably a month to 45 days behind me. And hands down, like without a doubt, that's why I'm so excited to talk to my buddy out in Washington about what all he has to say about it, because this guy in England that was doing it, like, I feel like he got more out of it than I did. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it made me want to go do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
What's the missing piece he got that I didn't get?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, did I miss something? Like, what, did I not, like, do this? Like, you know, right? Yeah. So, it was good.
What about the mental part of it? The mental, because I know when I listened to Danny Frisella give the description of it, like you said, a lot of it was the mental discipline.
That's what it is.
He kept pushing mental discipline, mental toughness.
100%, that's what it is. The physical is just a kind of a fringe benefit.
Right.
The mental side of it, it obviously depends on where someone's starting. And man, I would have to go back a little bit. So part of the reason I did this self-assessment was, and this gets into a lot of other stuff, but I've always kind of been a person that just kind of felt restless, yeah. Always. What's next? It drives my wife nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's back on, but either way, she'll listen to it on here, but it literally has driven her nuts forever. Mm-hmm. And it caused issues in our relationship at times because these two keywords, and some of these dudes are going to laugh because I've had 100 conversations with them. I was looking at complacency and contentment as the same thing. I always thought that those two, and I looked at it like people were giving up. Like, well, why are you not doing more? Like,
what? Settling.
Like, so you're settling, like, you're content with living like this? Like, I would get mad about it.
Yeah.
And I would hold that over people. I mean, that was my pride and ego, mm-hmm. you know, but I was doing it to others while I also was, like, always feeling restless myself.
Yeah.
You know, well, finally, and I don't know what I was reading or where it came from, but I connected the dots, and this is when it went spiritual for me. And this is where I've been... Well, I can tell you exactly when it was. I was listening to an Andy Frizzella podcast in December, and I'm out. It was one of those late nights, mm-hmm. and I'm walking. There's a guy on there named Chad Wright. He's a former Navy SEAL. He's an ultramarathon runner. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of those things about algorithms, like who you start following and where it goes. Like, I'd never heard of this guy, right? And so he's on this podcast, Andy Frizzella, and they're talking to him, and he's like, man, I'm on a mission. Andy Frizzella, like, well, what's your mission? He said, well, you know, y'all probably don't want to get into it on this show because of kind of where that show's focused.
Yeah.
It's more motivational, and it's this guy, he's an ultra runner, he does 100-mile races and all that. They're like, no, that's exactly why you're here. We want to get into it. He's like, man, I'll just be straight up. I'm sold out for Jesus. And like right when this dude said this, I was just like, what? You know, and I backed this up. And like, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like,
yeah,
there it is.
Wow.
There it is.
Wow.
Like, you know, like I'm doing all this, like, you know, self-improvement. I'm trying to like do this, you know, whatever. And like this guy's on this podcast and he said it. And I was like, okay, like this has just kind of been the primer. You know, this is just kind of the warming up. So I got a ton out of it from a mental, and I'm talking about little stuff like emptying the dishwasher, putting stuff in the dishwasher, like little things that you'd normally, or I normally, would pass by. Oh, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
You know, my wife just said something the other day. She said, are you going to put the dog food in the thing? Because last time you said it, you didn't put it in there. And I was like, it's because I'm not on this program. Like, it's because I'm not like holding myself accountable.
Right.
And you know?
It's like, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to make the bed.
Right.
And you start your day off by giving up.
Yep.
Instead of taking care of business.
That's right. That's right.
And we got Facebook Live back up, guys. She got it fixed. What was your, Jared Aaron had a comment?
Jared Aaron says, is Shane a coffee snob or more of a gas station kind of
gas guy? Gas station, man. Anything. I'll drink anything.
And Travis Hill says, Benny can be whichever one he needs to be, LOL. But I'm guessing he's not a coffee snob.
No. Hey, I mean, I love all kinds of coffee, but I put a lot of creamer in it. So that's why I'm not a snob. Like, I can drink anything. If it's hot and black, I'll throw some creamer in there. You know, so I like good coffee for sure, but no, I'm not a coffee snob. Gas station all the way. I eat a lot of gas station chicken too. That's a side note.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I love
Chester
it.
Chester chicken.
I love it, man. I'll literally go in and buy like 5-6 legs at a
sometimes
time.
Sometimes it's something the best you'll find.
That's right.
The best fried chicken I ever had was at a little gas station in Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm.
Man,
used to be one down in Florida. I'd stop at all the time. Loved it.
Well, that's. Go ahead, please continue.
So kind of back on that, on the mental side of it, like, you know, I felt like I got a lot out of it. The physical was good. Like, I've already started putting weight back on, you know, but it's also kind of been one of those things where I've realized through some more self-reflection, like, I need a challenge. I'm not good at holding myself accountable unless there's a challenge that I'm shooting for. So if I'm going to train for a marathon and go run it, well, then I'll go run and I'll do it and I'll go run a marathon. Or 75 hard. If I'm going to do that, like, I'll go do it. And you asked about the fasting. You know, I did a couple of those fasts. Like, obviously, there's a lot of literature out there about are they good, are they bad, intermittent, 24-hour. Right. The 72-hour thing, quite honestly, was simply just to say I went 72 hours without eating.
Yeah.
It was because I was in that period of time during, you know, 75 hard. Mentally, I was like, I do whatever. Like, it don't matter. Like, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And that's kind of where I was.
Yeah.
I read something about a long fast. Like, I recall it was probably a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. I was going to attempt this. It was like a 3-day fast.
Yeah.
72
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
And I think I made it 18 hours.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was done.
When I, back about 3 years ago, after I left the sheriff's department, I had ballooned up for me. I was big. I was about 235, 240. My head looked like a basketball. And I had just started really getting...
You got fat, buddy.
I got fat. I got fat. And you know the lifestyle we lived and the work, it kind of contributes to that. But, you know, I was listening to some podcasts and, you know, they were talking about intermittent fasting. I didn't know
what that was. We got a question on Facebook Live here.
Says if you're taking, Zach Blom again, says if you're taking questions, Shane mentioned getting out of the military. That's a tough transition for a lot of people. How did Shane find ways to fill whatever void was left from leaving the service?
Man, mute that dude. Don't let that guy ask.
You want to finish what you were saying?
Go ahead.
We'll answer the question.
I'll answer it.
Go ahead.
So, and this guy knows a lot of these answers, right?
Yeah, he already knows the answers.
I did not plant him here. almost wish I hadn't have told him. Anyway, no, I'm joking, Zach. So, I'm assuming filling that void. He's talking about like kind of that sense of purpose, that kind of mission. Is that kind of where it was going?
I think so.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about some of that. You know, there was a time not long after I got home, probably 2 years in, where I was like, I miss it so much, I'm going back. Mm-hmm. Like, I still want to have my business, but I'm going to fly in the reserves or the guard or something. Yeah. I need that mission again. I need some purpose.
Yeah.
You know, and I went and got hired by a unit in Florida. And they said, hey, you're going to training. I was supposed to go up to Canada, whatever. I said, my only stipulation is don't send me in the summer. I can't shut my business down. I'll go in the winter, you know, whatever. Well, they called me up and said, hey, man, we got your training slot. You're going to leave in May. You'll be gone June, July, and half of August.
No, that don't like, work. Okay. Yeah, I thought we talked about that.
I said, no, that's all right. I said, we'll wait till the fall. Well, then that's when the hurricane hit down in Key West. And we went out the door and went down there. And I basically just made a decision of, all right, I can't do it. You know, the business is kind of getting to the point where I'm not going to be able to go 90 days away and shut this thing down. And it had started to kind of grow at that point. You know, there for a long time, there was a period of time where it was me and my dad cutting pulpwood.
Yeah.
That's what we were doing, just whatever to scrape by.
Right.
And, you know, dad still works with me and he's helped me a ton, you know, throughout. But it had started growing. We had some more folks. So, Zach, to really answer your question, though, man, it's kind of funny. I sent him and Colonel Hill a thing yesterday from Thoreau that I had read. And I'm going to butcher the quote, but it basically said the mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation.
Quiet desperation.
You know, and it's a pretty popular quote, but it had never really stuck out to me like that. And to me, what that means is like a lot of them don't have purpose. A lot of us, not them, a lot of us, right? And so it is like, well, what is your purpose? So what are you really doing? Are you spinning your wheels, you know? And you can get into the happiness, or you can get into the joy, or the complacency, or contentment, and all these words, you know, but really it is like some people may live for their kids, you know? Some people live for their job. Some people absolutely live for their relationship with God. I mean, it kind of depends on where are you at in life. To fulfill that purpose. For me, it was that realization of my restlessness was a void, that when that guy said that on that podcast, I was like, that's it, man. That's it. And it's been a journey the past 4 months. It really has. But I got saved back when I was 15, 16 years old at Herman Baptist Church, Larry Brown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Scott and Shay's dad.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll never forget it. And I truly do feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit called me to get saved. Mm-hmm. But in January, and man, this could go down a ton of roads, but there's a book, I'll cut it short. There's a book called Dangerous Prayers. Mm-hmm. I read that book and I watched an online church. It's called Man of West Florida. And the pastor preached on that book for 4 weeks. And it literally changed my life. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
That's great.
You know, and so to answer that question ultimately, how did I figure out my purpose back then? I don't think I did.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was constantly looking for it and I was kind of filling it for a time with alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, I've kind of gotten away from that. You know, folks fill it with whatever.
Right.
But now that I've got to this point in my life, I feel like my purpose is aligning my will, what I want, with God's will. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what my purpose is.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, I don't
like that.
But the cool thing is I'm no longer restless about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of like, okay, like I trust him. I'm patient. If I'm supposed to do something, it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Man, stuff happens. Y'all both know. Different jobs, jumping around, doing whatever. Stuff works out. If you put yourself in, if you're prepared for whatever may come, it just works out.
How hard was it for you on that to surrender? And when I say surrender, that's one of the classes that something I'm going through right now. We talked about that, you know, and it's part of lining yourself up, like you say. But there's a certain amount, and as especially as men, and nothing against the ladies, because you know nothing, but you know we're kind of, I think, programmed from a very young age. Hey, you have to take this on and be in control, and you have to take charge. You know, all that kind of stuff. But to really align yourself up with the way. With the will of God,
sure.
and to flow with that, you have to surrender.
Absolutely,
you have to surrender control. And you know, we went through this class, and I'm kind of like you guys. I got saved at a young age, and I've been, you know, through a lot of different in my walk. I'll call it my walk of faith.
Sure,
a lot of ups and downs. A lot of lows and some highs.
I had a bunch of downs.
Yeah.
Bunch.
Yeah.
Stayed down.
Yeah, for, me too.
I stayed down
for a while.
In that respect.
And still do sometimes.
You know, in that respect.
But yeah.
Successful, if you will, with military career, business, and all that. I'm not downing any of that stuff, but from a spiritual standpoint.
Right, from a spiritual standpoint.
Getting saved 15 or 16 looks 1,000 times different now at 42.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And there's some maturity there, obviously.
Yeah.
There's some things. There's some life lessons there that kind of make you reflect more. Maybe it's getting old and saying, hey, I'm not immortal anymore.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, maybe it's, you know, and sometimes I feel like I kind of cheated because it's like, oh, man, I did this, I did that, I did this. Like, if I'd have been walking, like you said, like I'm supposed to have been, so many situations in my life that I wouldn't have been in.
Well, you know, I'm not going to say that I was always. There were times I clicked that light off, and I absolutely embraced the darkness.
Yeah,
you know, and walked. You know, and so, you know, but I do think you said something that is just absolutely key. You know, once you get into your mid to late 30s and 40s, I think kind of some of the things of youth. The ego, the pride, the things you grasp for, the things that we believe are told, this will give us value.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you, if you want to be somebody, all this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying, no, don't care. Don't try to strive. I'm not saying that. But it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
You already have what you need. It's right there.
That's right. Yeah, so to answer your question about the surrender part,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a daily struggle.
Yeah,
you know, I think you can truly surrender, and you can say I'm going to walk this way and have a relationship. But I also think it's a daily struggle.
Yeah,
we are of the flesh. Like every day,
yeah.
I still want to be self-reliant, which takes me away from being obedient.
Right.
You know, like, right. So I think that surrender part is something that you constantly have to do. And somebody said it the other day, and I wish I could remember it, but it was, I know who it was. It was my wife's cousin's husband. And he said it in a way of, you know, dying of yourself. And he's like, that's a daily thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have to choose that daily to put this aside.
Yes.
And to walk this way.
Yeah.
You know, so... So how hard was it? I think it's hard every day. Some days are easier, some days are not.
Right.
The sermon this morning at church, you know, he was preaching on forgiving people and praying for people even while they actively are doing something to you. You know, I have an issue with that. I'm not good at that. I try not to hold grudges. You know, I try to just ignore it and hope it goes away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That don't do me any good. You know, I think that forgiveness of someone else is just as much for you as it is for them, because they might not want it. They might not ask for it.
Absolutely.
They may do it again, like whatever.
Absolutely.
But so I think that part, you know, is hard, and there's definitely things that everybody's going to struggle with.
Right.
So I think that surrender is a daily surrender.
Right.
You know,
I found when I, you know, on the religious aspect, when I started surrendering, you know, kind of meeting God halfway, I guess, mm-hmm. things started getting a little easier in life. it's funny how that happens, you know, because you're fighting him in certain aspects of your life, and then you start meeting him halfway and kind of following his guidelines.
Yeah.
Life gets a little better for you. It gets a little easier.
I could tell a difference in you. You know, we this goes back several months. Brandon came in and we were talking. We were getting ready for a show, you know, and I can't even remember what we're going to talk about. But I was like, Harold, how you doing, man? How things going? He's like, buddy. I mean, and he was just like a different, he had a different, he said, things are going great. And he started telling me all about, you know, church and things that were going on, things that he was kind of looking at. And I'd never heard him ever say anything like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just almost kind of like, yeah, all right. All right. That, there again, I think sometimes when we do things or say things that we don't think, well, should I say that? Should I do? Maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut. Sometimes it's for no other reason but to encourage someone else. Mm-hmm. That encouraged me because I had just started going back. My wife and daughter had been going to church, and mainly because of work, but also even when I didn't have to work, I was like, I'm tired. Yep. You know, I work all the time. You know,
it's normal, right?
I mean, it's normal.
Like, across America.
Right, I'm committed to this, you know.
Yeah.
And I was edging to look to commit myself more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a big encourager to me.
Right. We're going to take one more question from Facebook Live. And we're getting low on battery power here, so if you do to get disconnected, you can get us on multiple podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, obviously our favorite. It's our most listened to platform. Mm-hmm. But you can get us at Two Guys in a Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Let's go ahead and take that question. Let's see if we can get it answered. We're getting real close to the end of the show today, so we'll kind of close out with this question.
Dylan says, Shane mentioned fasting in his 75-day challenge. What are some of the mental and physical struggles to that? Also, was it true fasting for days or hours?
Yeah, it was 72 hours with only water and coffee. 72 hours, 3 days, however you want to look at it. The physical part, obviously, energy, I guess, would be the biggest thing. Surprisingly enough, did not feel hungry, which is strange.
Mm-hmm.
For the majority of it, there at the end, I was sitting. My wife cooked. I was sitting at the thing, waiting for the clock to turn because I was ready to eat. You know, it was one of those things.
Yeah.
I was ready to eat, but I didn't feel hungry per se. But there was definitely a loss of energy when you look at doing 2 45-minute workouts a day for those 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
So that was definitely a drain there.
That's not like 72 hours of being in the bed.
Oh, no.
Or whatever.
It was still working every day. Yeah.
Well, one thing, and I probably asked you this then, did you at any time there toward the end hallucinate?
No, I never did. I've read some guys do.
Yeah.
But I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
I had a buddy that ran Hadrian's Wall, which is across England. Romans built it.
Right.
I think it's 88 miles. He ran that thing, and he started hallucinating on his run towards the end because he was drinking shots of scotch. Towards the end of it to celebrate.
Wow, my God.
You were talking about scotch earlier.
Yeah,
So he started having full-blown hallucinations while running.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to check out the 75-day challenge?
It's 75 hards, what they call it.
Okay, I'm definitely going to check this out. I'm assuming it's a book or...
They got a book. Yeah, you can borrow mine. Yeah,
awesome.
Or you can find it online. He's straight up about it. He's like, you don't have to buy crap.
It's
right here it is, on a napkin. You know, it's out there.
It's simple.
It's not a secret, you know, what's in the program. Now, the book has a lot of other stuff.
Right.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, I told you at the beginning of the show, we're getting back in the gym. I've been out for about 8 months. I guess since I left the sheriff's department, because I had a free gym when I was at the sheriff's department.
That's right. Yeah.
And you know, finances being what they were at the time, I just wasn't paying for a gym membership. So we're getting back to the local gym, and we're doing a 16-8 fast.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, you know, I've got I've dieted through the years, and I see good results. And
yeah,
then,
I found for me, which I'm blessed in that I can gain weight and I can lose weight quickly. I've never had to struggle like
in 12 weeks. I'll cut probably 40 or 50 pounds.
Right. But just a consistent fasting. I would typically do it on Sundays, and I started with 12 and I got to where 18 I was comfortable with, felt like I can do this, and it's not, you know, Right.
The 16-8 I like.
Yeah.
I did that a couple times. I like that one. Because I was never really a big breakfast person anyway. Mm-hmm. So, depending on what time you eat, like a 16 hours without eating doesn't seem that bad if you eat at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
Then you're only going to noon the next day. I was doing that normally anyway.
It's like a normal work day.
Yeah, right.
And that's actually our plan, 12 to 8.
Yeah.
I think you'll see some big results.
I think so. Me, been around athletes my whole life and studying nutrition and, different, workouts. I've been around them my whole life. Since I was 5 years old, I've been, a son of a heavyweight boxing champion. So I've seen it and, seen different methods he's used. Hey, butter beans and tuna fish for or boiled chicken for weeks to lose 50 pounds. I mean, I've seen different things
that work
and fail. And I mean, I'm excited about it. That's been on my mind for 2 weeks now.
I'm glad you enjoyed it because I'll tell you, man, it's a good thing. I'm trying to, which it doesn't look like it, but. I'm able to do a lot here, which I still have the membership at Target if I want to go out there.
I think our plan is to go for early in the mornings before work.
Do that because there are some, I'm going to tell you, wonderful people out there. If I were to start naming them off, you would know them and Shane would know them.
I'm sure.
And, but as the evening goes on, if you're in a hurry, I like to talk.
You do.
And I do. And I end up. Spending most of my time talking, generally with Dale Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Dale. And he's,
And I think we're going to start adding to a home gym as well as for an evening workout.
Yeah.
Just a heavy bag and, gloves and just.
I'll tell you, yoga is fantastic.
Man, I don't know.
If you
ever done it?
No.
Dude, it will wear your tail out.
It will. You will hurt. But it's a good, if you work at it, it's totally different, right?
It's
a different
kind people of think it's stretching.
Yeah, the thing
you get flexible, but it is a workout.
Yeah, there's a lot of just kind of stationary strength building that goes on. Great for your core.
Yeah,
and it's if you do that and try to throw in there, take 15 or 20 minutes and just practice meditation. Work at it. Read, listen to YouTube, whatever. Before you know it, when I started doing it for 15 minutes, I was like, okay, clear my head. I can't clear my head. So, I just sit there and I'm like, okay, my thoughts are going to come and go.
You can't help it.
Can't help it. Well, within a couple of weeks, 30 minutes went by.
Right.
I was like, whoa, how'd that happen? You can do that. That's a good time also for prayer.
Right.
I mean,
that may help
from a Christian standpoint, that's a good time for prayer.
I wake up in the mornings now. There's a story behind this. I wake up in the mornings and my back's killing me, my body's sore. But we had to buy a new bed, right? And my wife told me, she said, go to the mattress store, buy a bed, have them deliver it. So I go in, I'm looking around, I said, this is the cheapest one.
That's where you messed up, bro.
Yeah.
No, he got the one that raises up instead of the one that's comfortable.
Right.
He thought he was watching those commercials.
Right. The old people that he raised that up. That's what I bought. It was the cheapest one in the store. They're like, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. It raises up. And I said, sure. Here, let me sign the paper.
You got somebody's medical bed.
Right. I took a break from work to go take care of this. So I'm just signing paperwork here. Here's my bank information. Just right out of the account.
They got you now.
Yeah,
now we're paying payments on a sore back.
You're paying payments on. Where did you buy it?
Mattress Firm, I believe.
Mattress Firm.
Yeah. And I just rushed through it. That was my fault. I didn't even lay out. The guy said, you want to lay out and check it out? Nah, man, it's a bed. It'll be fine.
But can you take it back?
Probably not now.
Probably not now.
They give you 90 days to try it out, and I think we've elapsed the 90 days.
I told Brandon in a week, I was like, we have got to take this bed back. He's like, just give it time.
Thought you'd break it in.
Right.
Yeah. Break it in.
Well, guys, it's been a great show. I hate to bring a close to it. Shana, we'd love to have you back again sometime.
Cool. Thanks for
letting
me come.
It has been a great show.
Jared says, great guest, great show.
Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Jared.
Jared was one of our first listeners on the show when we first started.
He was, and he's been on the show. Jared does a little bit of YouTubing himself, and just a great guy.
I love the aerial stuff you're doing, Jared.
Yeah, that's good
amazing.
Work.
Good work. Love it.
Drone work?
Yeah, he does drone work. It's amazing.
Jared who?
Jared Aaron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
But guys, we've lost our Facebook Live feed, guys. The battery died.
Adios.
So we'll update on that, and we told our listeners check us out, so that's maybe right. They'll come to the podcast. Guys, go to Apple Podcasts. You know, leave us a review. It helps us climb the charts. You know, at one time, where were we at on improv? Ranked 140th or 67th in improv.
Gosh,
man. I remember y'all throwing that number out there.
Right.
One of the ones I listened to.
which out of thousands, that was I thought was pretty good.
Absolutely.
You know, I think y'all said that number in the New Year's podcast.
I believe we did. And you know, and I like to say this to a lot of bull jive. You know, like, hey man, we're worldwide, we're international. Like, well, in a way we are.
Yeah.
But you know, it's something that I hope people, oops, just from like today's show, I hope someone listened and heard what Shane had to say. Not only enjoyed listening to him, but got something out of it.
Absolutely.
Maybe if he got one thing out of it that spurs something good, well then our time was worth it. And of course, I enjoyed doing it, man. I've been wanting to have you on here, wanting to sit down across the table from you and have a conversation. And to go along with what Brandon said, I hope you'll come back. I'd like to continue the conversation.
Cool. Absolutely. You know, we don't want to run too long of an episode. People lose interest.
How they can lose interest, I do not know, but they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, fun show. Shane, again, we'd love to have you back. Thank you for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Listeners, we'll see y'all next time.
Adios.
See you.